Caring Review, print speaking to the blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast, recorded at the Bishop Briggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview, that is @CUENDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@qnreview.com. That is information@CUENDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 4th of April 2024. From the news section. Driver slammed for using estate to dodge Glasgow LEZ fines. This is an exclusive article written by Amanda Keenan and read by me, Corey. Fed up residents are calling on the council to crack down on commuters using their street to dodge costly parking charges and LEZ fines. Those living in Northbridge development at Sight Hill Circus want the local authority to introduce parking permits or double yellow lines outside their homes, amid claims around 100 commuters are leaving their vehicles there each day before walking the short distance into the city centre. They say the issue has escalated since the introduction of Glasgow's controversial Low Emissions Zone, LEZ, which begins on the boundary of the estate. It means older vehicles that fail to meet specific emissions standards, Euro 6 for diesel and Euro 4 for petrol, are not allowed to enter the city centre without a financial penalty being imposed. Peter Collins, who lives in the estate, told the Glasgow Times, "We are right at the boundary of the LEZ, so all day and night the three streets here are being used by those whose vehicles don't comply and want to dodge being fined. Rather than drive into the heart of the city, they just turn right into our estate and park up for free. It's getting ridiculous now, as there's barely enough room for people who live here, never mind the area becoming a makeshift car park for strangers. We've been calling on the council to tackle this for almost 2 years, but nothing has been done. It's getting to the point where it's becoming a serious problem." Peter says the issue is at its worst on weekdays, as the streets are filled with people who work in the heart of the city, with camper vans even setting up for overnight stays. Dozens of complaints have been made to the city council by residents, who say the problem has become so bad that delivery firms are refusing to drop off in their estate. Peter, who works as a civil servant, added, "You look out your window and just see cars, vans and HGVs abandoned. They're even mounting the pavements to squeeze in," which is forcing residents to walk out onto the busy street and putting the elderly and those with sight problems or disabilities at risk. "At one point we even had a camper van parked up for a full week, while the folk using it went around Glasgow on a mini break. It only moved on after people here put a note in the windshield to say our streets are not a holiday park." Peter says furious residents have reached the end of their tether. He added, "At the end of the day, the people running the council wouldn't like it if this was happening outside their homes. Yet we are expected to put up with it. We've had enough, and it's time the council announced a plan to deal with this." The estate is part of a £250 million regeneration of Sight Hill, said to be the biggest UK project of its kind outside of London, through the Glasgow Region City Deal, which is funded by the UK and Scottish governments. Plans also include almost 1,000 new homes and landscaping, with the Sight Hill Bridge connecting communities in the north with the centre. Peter, 46, says the promise of continued investment was one of the reasons he moved into the development. He adds, As a lifelong North East Glasgow citizen, the regeneration of previously socially deprived area and a new bridge over the M8 to connect the city to the north with walkways and cycle paths was a massive draw for me and many others who moved here. However, the area is still largely unfinished, and no building work has happened on the site for at least 6 months. We were also told it would be a car-free part of the city, but that certainly not turned out to be the case. We have student accommodation, hospitals and offices close by, so it means the area is constantly busy. Folk know there's no parking enforcement here, so they just use it to their advantage. A spokesman for Glasgow City Council says they are looking into the issues raised by Peter and his neighbours. They added, "We are currently considering measures to protect residents in Sight Hill from people coming into the area to park in this way, and will hopefully soon present those for feedback and, later this year, implementation. If driveways are being blocked, residents should contact Police Scotland." That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was an exclusive article written by Amanda Keenan, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 4th of April 2024. From the news section. Glasgow needs an urgent rescue plan ahead of its anniversary. An article written by Saraya Sadiq and read by me, Corey. Glasgow was once an industrial hive, hence it was named the second city of the empire. Glasgow is a city which has led the world in science. Innovation and science fueled the engine of our city's growth in the 18th and 19th centuries. Glasgow has been a hub for innovation in various scientific fields, including engineering, medicine, technology, and architecture. What scientists did in Glasgow was integral in changing the whole world. What scientists are doing now in Glasgow, academia, continues to radiate around the globe. Glasgow is known for its listed buildings. Charles Rennie Mackintosh and Alexander Greek Thompson set Glasgow on the world stage. The elegant work of Alexander Greek Thompson can be seen as villas, terraces, tenements, shops and churches across the city. The award-winning Glasgow Miles Better campaign of 1983 onward helped frame Glasgow as a tourist destination. In the 1980s and 90s, investment was directed towards new shopping areas, Princess Square, St Enoch's Centre and Buchanan Galleries. In contrast, current Glasgow infrastructure and industry is a shadow of its former self. The streets are littered and the roads are now renowned for potholes. Argyle Street and Buchanan Street are mere shadows of what they once were. Glasgow was once regarded as a major shopping destination. Instead, we see an increase in charity shops, empty units and far too many historical buildings falling into disrepair. The unkept appearance of this once proud city, renowned throughout the world, is unacceptable. The parks are overgrown and lack general maintenance. Anyone having left the city for a period of time would almost not recognise the proud city it once was. Glasgow needs an urgent rescue plan. Not an overburden of strategies, but funded, sustainable action plans, shaped by experts who have a track record for delivering in their field. There is a need to urgently seek pathways for Glasgow to return to its former thriving self. We need politicians with a passion to bring the city back from a point of no return, and the tenacity and commitment to make it happen. There is an urgent need to build more social homes, bring empty buildings into use, fix the potholes, invest in cleansing and maintaining green spaces to ensure they are attractive for everybody to enjoy. Also, an increase in momentum for sustainable energy projects. Stop the cuts to education. upskill for the growth and green sector jobs, and support the needs of our most vulnerable. Next year is Glasgow's 850th year. Let's ensure Glasgow's 850th birthday will be a big year for the city. It's a big milestone, and a call for the SNP Green Administration to take action. An opportunity to showcase our wonderful city. We look forward to a year of events and celebrations, starting with a clean and green city that we can all be proud of and attracts worldwide visitors. Celebrate our past, but it is important that we have confidence in our current and inspiration for a healthy, prosperous and sustainable future. Let's promote Brand Glasgow, home and abroad, and everyone who has or does call Glasgow home is invited to the celebration. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Soraya Sadiq, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 4th of April 2024. From the news section. Post office branch in Glasgow has announced shock closure. This article was written by Ben Waddle and is being read by me, Corey. A post office branch in Glasgow has announced its shock closure. Peterson Park Post Office in Yoker Mill Road in the city closed on Saturday, March 30th. The mail firm has said the branch was withdrawn from post office use after the postmaster resigned. We previously reported that the post office reopened in April 2023, following a 7-month major refurbishment project. The branch was located within a NISA store. However, the NISA store remains open. In terms of replacing it, the post office has said they are facing a particularly challenging period. The retailer said, "The impact of rising costs, inflation and finite funding from the government means that while we will always look to reopen branches when they close, we cannot commit to doing so in every instance, including Peterson Park." Following the shop closure, local residents took to social media to express their sadness at the news. One said, "Poor old people that need it." While another added, "Another blow. The post office has shut at the new NISA. Shocking." A post office spokesperson said, "The postmaster for Peterson Park has resigned, and the premises have been withdrawn for post office use on March 30th. In terms of replacing the branch, the post office is facing a particularly challenging period, as are other high street retailers. The impact of rising costs, inflation and finite funding from the government meant that while we will always look to reopen branches when they close, we cannot commit to doing so in every instance, including Peterson Park. There are nearby alternative branches that customers can visit. Dyke Road Post Office is 0.5 miles away and Garscadden Road is 0.8 miles away. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Ben Waddle and it was read by me, Corey.
Evening Times, April 4, Opinion. Soraya Sadiq says, "Glasgow needs an urgent rescue plan ahead of its anniversary." Glasgow was once an industrial hive, hence it was named the second city of the empire. Glasgow is a city which has led the world in science. Innovation in science fueled the engine of our city's growth in the 18th and 19th centuries. Glasgow has been a hub for innovation in various scientific fields, including engineering, medicine, technology, and architecture. What scientist did in Glasgow was integral in changing the whole world. What scientists are now doing in Glasgow academia continues to radiate around the globe. Glasgow is known for its listed buildings. Charles Rennie Mackintosh and Alexander Greig Thompson set Glasgow on the world stage. The elegant work of Alexander Greig Thompson can be seen as villas, terraces, tenements, shops and churches across the city. The award-winning Glasgow's Miles Better campaign of 1983 onwards helped frame Glasgow as a tourist destination. In the 1980s and 90s, investment was directed towards new shopping areas, Princess Square, St Enoch Centre and Buchanan Galleries. In contrast, current Glasgow infrastructure and industry is a shadow of its former self. The streets are littered and the roads are now renowned for potholes. Argyle Street and Buchanan Street are mere shadows of what they once were. Glasgow was once regarded as a major shopping destination. Instead, we see an increase in charity shops, empty units, and far too many historical buildings falling into disrepair. The unkempt appearance of this once proud city, renowned throughout the world, is unacceptable. The parks are overgrown and lack general maintenance. Anyone having left the city for a period of time would almost not recognise the proud city it once was. Glasgow needs an urgent rescue plan. Not an overburden of strategies, but funded sustainable action plans, shaped by experts who have a track record for delivering in their field. There is a need to urgently seek pathways for Glasgow to return to its former thriving self. We need politicians with a passion to bring the city back from a point of no return. The humility to listen, the intelligence to understand, and the tenacity and commitment to make it happen. There is an urgent need to build more social homes, bring empty buildings into use, fix the potholes, invest in cleansing and maintain green spaces to ensure they are attractive for everyone to enjoy. Also, an increase in momentum for sustainable energy projects. Stop the cuts to education, upskill for the growth in green sectors jobs, and support the needs of our most vulnerable. Next year is Glasgow's 850th year. Let's ensure Glasgow's 850th birthday will be a big year for the city. It's a big milestone and a call for the SNP Green Administration to take action. An opportunity to showcase our wonderful city. We look forward to a year of events and celebrations, starting with a clean and green city that we can all be proud of and attracts worldwide visitors. Celebrate our past, but it is important that we have confidence in our current and the inspiration for a healthy, prosperous and sustainable future. Let's promote brand Glasgow, home and abroad, and everyone who has or does call Glasgow home is invited to the celebration, says Soraya Siddiq.
From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 6th of April, from the news section, furious resident told to use council homeless services after evacuation, report by Morgan Carmichael. Glasgow residents have been told to turn to homeless services after being evacuated from their homes. Occupants living next to the India buildings on Bridge Street were asked to leave their homes on Thursday night by Glasgow City Council after the roof of the 19th century property collapsed inward and significant movement was noted in the front facade. Appalled resident Graham Watson told the Glasgow Times that staff from the council turned up at the nearby flats at around 5:30 p.m. on Thursday and told the occupants to leave immediately after Bridge Street was closed for public safety. Residents were told to declare themselves homeless and find a hostel to stay in, as the council claimed finding occupants temporary accommodation was not their problem. The council said it is engaging with affected people who have contacted it for assistance. "We are absolutely furious and appalled," Graham, 50, said. He continued, "We can't believe this heartless treatment from the council, who are just leaving us completely high and dry. There are young men and women who live here, as well as a foreign exchange student who has no nearby family, and the council is telling them just to call a hostel. It is appalling. We are still all in shock and don't know what's going to happen. We have been given no timescale whatsoever. The listed building is set to be demolished by the council starting Monday, but no timescale for how long the process will last has been revealed." Graham said this is leaving residents in the dark and scrambling for a place to go. He added, "People have been left scrambling to find accommodation. This is an emergency. We haven't been told anything and the council hasn't been in contact since the evacuation on Thursday night. It's just absolutely shocking. Residents on Bridge Street have made repeated calls over the last few years due to concerns over the state of the derelict building. The building has had the same ownership for about 40 years and it has been neglected for about 3 out of those 4 decades," Graham said. He added, "It has gradually been falling into disrepair and repeated attempts and calls have been made for someone to step in and make use of the building. We also previously reported that another resident, Eddie McGonnell, said that the repeated concerns were expressed about the condition of the building." He added, "What does it take to galvanise them into action? The collapse of the building with potential risk to pedestrians? The factor of the injuring buildings is said to be helping residents, like Graham, fight back against the council's actions." A Glasgow City Council spokesperson said, "Emergency evacuations require a rapid response to mitigate against immediate danger and potential loss of life. We understand this is an upsetting and frustrating experience for those affected. The council has a statutory duty to preserve life in these situations and, following a safety assessment, the decision was taken to evacuate nearby residents. Evacuated residents often find alternative temporary accommodation through their own insurance entitlements or with friends and family. Should none of these options be available to them, affected residents can declare themselves homeless and the council has a duty to accommodate them. The council is currently engaging with affected people who have contacted us for assistance." And that article was written by Morgan Carmichael and read by me, Ian McKenna. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 6th of April, from the news section. This could save someone's life. Pubgoers hailed after raising £1,500 for defibrillator. This article is an exclusive by Morgan Carmichael. A pub boss has praised her punters after they raised £1,500 for a life-saving defibrillator. Margaret Drennan, manager of the Brockburn and Pollock, said her regulars and new customers raised £1,500 in just 5 days to get the equipment installed outside the popular boozer. "I sure am very proud of them all," Margaret told the Glasgow Times. She added, "I've got a good group of customers." The money was raised through the selling of football cards and large donations from customers. Margaret added that one of the bands who regularly play at the pub decided to donate their fee for playing to help raise the money needed. The defibrillator was installed at the end of March, and Margaret said the punters could not be happier. She continued, "This is something for the community, locals and anybody who may need it. It's great that we have it installed now and it is for the use of everybody. It could save someone's life and, for that, it's such a good thing." The pub's new addition comes after a massive £340,000 refurbishment earlier this year. We previously reported that the pub was redecorated with an updated bar and lounge area to create a warm and inviting atmosphere. Outside, the pub has also been giving a vibrant and modern look, including brand new lighting and signage. Speaking on the upgrades, Margaret said, "The refurbishment is just so lovely. It feels like a whole new pub. Since opening back up again, we are doing really well. We've a lot of new customers and some old ones too." When it reopened on February the 23rd, the ribbon was cut by Wee Jimmy, who is Margaret's oldest customer. She said, "Wee Jimmy definitely deserves a mention. He is 81 years old and is my oldest regular. He's in here all the time, so it was only right he cut the ribbon." Wee Jimmy was also at the pub when the defibrillator was installed last month. Margaret said he was very happy to see the installation and even grabbed a few pictures with the machine. And that article was an exclusive by Morgan Carmichael. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 5th of April, from the news section, FAI into boy's death at Glasgow Hospital to begin next month. Article written by Rosie Lewis. A fatal accident inquiry is to be held into the death of a 3-year-old boy at Glasgow's Queen Elizabeth University Hospital. Archie Donald died on November the 20th, 2019, after being admitted to the Royal Hospital for Children, part of the QEUH campus, for treatment. The inquiry will examine the circumstances of Archie's death, with an expected focus on what role the identification and treatment of a Lyme infection played in his death, the delay in admittance and record sharing. It will also consider whether the built hospital environment played a role in the contraction of the infection. Lord Advocate Dorothy Bain ordered a discretionary fatal accident inquiry into Archie's death, whereas in some cases FAIs are mandatory, including deaths in custody or at work. A preliminary hearing will take place on May the 15th at Glasgow Sheriff Court. The inquiry will establish if reasonable precautions could have been taken and could be implemented in the future to minimise the risk of deaths in similar circumstances, rather than to attribute blame. Procurator Fiscal Andy Shanks, who leads on death investigations for the Crown Office and Procurator Fiscal Service, said, "The Lord Advocate considered that it is in the public interest for a discretionary fatal accident inquiry to be held into the circumstances of the death of Archie Donald to ensure there can be a full public hearing of the facts of the case. The lodging of the first notice enables FAI proceedings to commence under the direction of the Sheriff. Archie's family will continue to be kept informed of significant developments as court proceedings progress." Earlier this year, the Crown Office ordered fatal accident inquiries to investigate the death of several children at the QEUH, which is subject to the Scottish Hospitals Inquiry, a statutory probe into the construction of the facility. And that article was written by Rosie Lewis. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 6th of April, from the news section, "Forensics at crime scene as hunt launched for driver," report by Ben Waddle. Forensic officers have been spotted at a crime scene where a man was deliberately hit by a car. We previously reported that the hit and run took place on Ackermore Road in Drumchapel, shortly after 11 p.m. on Thursday, April the 4th. A 42-year-old man was rushed to hospital where medics have described his condition as stable. Several police vehicles are still at the scene as a hunt for the car involved has been launched. Part of the street has been cordoned off while forensics and cops carry out an investigation. Photographs are being taken and evidence markers have been put in place. A spokesperson for Police Scotland said, "Around 11:05 p.m. on Thursday, April the 4th, 2024, a 42-year-old man was injured after being deliberately struck by a vehicle on Ackermore Road, Drumchapel, Glasgow. He was taken by ambulance to the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital, Glasgow, where medical staff described his condition as stable. The car drove off after the incident. Inquiries are ongoing to trace the car and the circumstances surrounding the incident." And that report was by Ben Waddle. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 6th of April, from the news section, "Glasgow's famous Dali painting to be loaned out to the Vatican for major event," report by Stuart Patterson. Glasgow's most famous painting is to be loaned to the Vatican. Christ of St. John on the Cross, housed at Kelvingrove Art Gallery and Museum, is set to be sent on loan next year. Councillors are being asked to approve the loan to an important and historical Vatican museum. The painting is to be loaned to the Dicastery of Evangelization for display at the Church of San Marcello a Corsa in Rome. The museum is overseen directly by Pope Francis. If agreed, it will be loaned to the Vatican between May the 14th and June the 23rd for the arts events of Jubilee 2025 with an opening event on May the 13th. A report to be considered by the councillor states, the painting will be displayed alongside the original drawing by St. John of the Cross and Dali's De Assumpta Corpus Goliara Lapis Lazuli Lina, 1952. Although both paintings by Dali have been seen together before, this presents an important opportunity to see both works, designed as part of a close series, together in an ecclesiastical context and, uniquely, with the original drawing by St. John. Collectively, these three artworks provide the context for analysis of dialogues, readings and experiences which led Dali to propose his interpretation of the Christian faith's central event as rendered in Glasgow's Dali. The painting will be insured by the Vatican for the duration of the loan. In a report to councillors, Annette Christie, Chair of Glasgow Life, said, the loan brings wider international attention to Glasgow's cultural wealth as a city, with museums and art galleries housing collections of international significance and vibrancy. The painting has been in Glasgow since 1952, when the Glasgow Corporation purchased it for £8,200. Today, it is thought to be worth more than £60 million and is regarded as the most treasured painting in the country. It is currently on loan in Dali's hometown of Figueres, Spain. And that report was by Stuart Patterson. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 6th of April. From the news section, guide dog owner serves up a treat with fundraiser. This article is unattributed. A guide dog owner is hosting a fundraising event to support people living with sight loss. Every April, the charity Guide Dogs asks its supporters to take part in the Make Every Cup a Count event to support people living with sight loss across the UK. Deborah Robertson, along with her guide dog Rye, is joining the annual fundraiser by organising the Glasgow Fundraising Group's event on Sunday, April 21st, at Bishop Briggs Guide Hall. Deborah will be bringing people together for a tea, coffee and cake event from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. She said, we will have treats kindly gifted by Greggs, Lees of Scotland, Tunnocks and Thomas Muir Coffee Shop. Paul and Mackie's will also have home-baked goodies for sale. Our volunteers will be there, along with plenty of our four-legged guide dog friends. Everyone is welcome and we hope to see many locals there. Guide Dogs works to breed and train working dogs, creating unique and carefully marked partnerships that provide life-changing support. The charity aims to give more people with sight loss the confidence and skills they need to live the life they choose. It costs just under £55,000 to support a dog from birth to retirement. The funds raised by Deborah and the Glasgow Fundraising Group will support guide dogs to help people with sight loss now and in the future. Sandy Johnson, Community Fundraising Development Manager at Guide Dogs, added, Deborah is a strong force in the local community and is always happy to share her story. She is extremely knowledgeable as she has been a guide dog owner and volunteer for a long time. It's helpful to be able to draw upon Deborah's knowledge and lived experience of how sight loss can impact people and how guide dogs change people's lives. Deborah is great at chatting to people and answering any questions about sight loss, guide dogs and her eye condition so she can share her knowledge and awareness, making the community more inclusive for others living with a visual impairment. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 6th of April. From the news section, Health Board addresses A&E fears. This article is unattributed. Health Chief have issued a statement to reassure parents that no child will be turned away from the accident and emergency unit at Paisley's Royal Alexandra Hospital, after concerns were raised online that this would soon be the case. A post by a parent on social media on Thursday claimed they had been informed that, as of the end of this month, the RAH will no longer be accepting children through the hospital's A&E department. The parent added that they had been told youngsters must be taken to the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital, presumably the Royal Hospital for Children, RHC, which is located at the same site in Govan. Clarifying the situation, NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde said that no child will be turned away from any of our E&E departments. A spokesperson added, as is the case throughout the country, adult E&E departments across the NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, including the one at the RAH, are under considerable pressure, and taking a child there may involve a considerable wait to be seen. In contrast, the A&E department at the RHC provides specialist care for children and young people, and patients are likely to be seen much more quickly if they are taken there. As such, if it is appropriate to do so, we are currently advising that parents take their children to the RHC, as it would be considerably quicker and more straightforward to do that. If patients would prefer to take their child to any of our other A&E departments and are prepared to wait, then they are welcome to do so. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 6th of April, news. Man caught with knife got it from youth. This article is unattributed. A Glasgow man who was caught with a knife in his hand told police he got it from a group of youths. Cops were called to Capakill Road in North Glasgow around 1:45 a.m. on September the 18th, 2022, after reports of a disturbance. They reviewed CCTV footage, which showed Alan Taggart, 38, with a knife openly in view. He was also drinking alcohol from a bottle at the same time. Later, he was traced by officers and was arrested and charged. Taggart appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court this week after pleading guilty to the offence. His lawyer said, he had been in a public house and was on the street intoxicated. His recollection is not as good as it should have been. He accepted he's in possession of a knife in the footage. There was a group of youths in the area and he suspects he may have gotten the knife from them. He must have discarded it before going home. He's currently subject to a structural deferred sentence with the alcohol court. Sheriff Owen Mullen imposed a community payback order on Taggart, requiring him to complete 90 hours of unpaid work. He was also tagged for 108 days, forcing him to stay within his home between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. Part of M8 to close for upgrades. Part of the Glasgow's M8 motorway will close for almost 2 weeks later this month. Engineering firm AMI, on behalf of Transport Scotland, will carry out boundary fence and central reservation repairs on the M8 eastbound at Junction 15, off slip to Castle Street, from April the 15th to 29th. The work will take place between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. each night and is to be carried out using overnight road closures. A signed diversion will be in place for motorists to follow during these times. And those articles were unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 5th of April, from the news section. Search for teen planning to attend gig in Glasgow. Report by Nicole Mitchell. A search is underway for a teenager who was planning to attend a gig in Glasgow. Rachel Laurie, 16, was reported missing from Dalkeith on Thursday, April the 4th. She was last seen at S Bank train station in Midlothian around 11 a.m. and is believed to have travelled to Glasgow by train. Cops have said inquiries suggest Rachel, who has links to Glasgow and Lanark, was planning to attend a concert in the Clyde Rooms in the city's south side. Sergeant Ryan Russell said, Rachel has been reported missing before, but concerns are growing for her welfare and we want to make sure she is safe and well. She has connections in Glasgow and Lanark. If you have seen Rachel or know where she might be, then please get in touch with us. Rachel is described as being around 5'8" tall, with a slim build and long brown hair. She is believed to be wearing a black long sleeve top, a green gilet and black leggings. Anyone with any information is asked to contact Police Scotland via 101, quoting incident number 4196 of Thursday, April the 4th. And that article was written by Nicole Mitchell and read by me, Ian McKenna. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 8th of April, from the news section, fantastic afternoon, care home hosts first bake-off. This article is unattributed. A care home in Toll Cross has hosted its first annual bake-off. The residents of Haydale Care Home were given the opportunity to whip up their favourite desserts as part of the event. It was arranged to bring people together by opening the competition to residents, their families, members of the community and other care homes owned by Advinia Healthcare. In the lead up, residents made practice cakes which the home says have a sensory benefit for all levels of dementia and learning disabilities. They could taste, smell and touch the cakes, which meant the activity was inclusive to everyone. The event also had a reminiscence benefit to residents and families as it was a chance to remember their favourite cakes and share stories of baking disasters or their love of baking. There were more than 20 entries, including the youngest contender at just 9 years old, from lemon drizzle to caramel shortcake, strawberry sponge, lotus cookies and Oreo brownies. Entries were judged by 5 members of staff on taste, texture, creativity, presentation and technique. William Sterling, a resident, said, "What a great afternoon, it's my dream job eating all these cakes." Another resident, Ella McLeish, asked, "Can I lick the spoon at the end of the session?" Residents and families were able to enjoy a cup of tea while they waited for the judge's decision. The winner was maintenance man Jamie McDavitt with his sprinkle surprise cake. Jamie will now be hosting next year's Bake Off event following his win. In second place was Elizabeth McKeegan with a velvet heart shaped cake, and third place was Mihaila Griyinku with a summer fruits and chocolate mousse cake. Fiona Hunter, Haydale Home Manager, said, "What a fantastic afternoon and what a great family and community spirit within the home." And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 8th of April, in the news section, charges for bulk uplifts. This article is unattributed. Charges will now be introduced for all bulk uplifts across South Lanarkshire. The decision was made following a council funding gap of £20.5 million and the local authority will now introduce a £40 charge for all standard bulk uplift requests. A standard lift includes a collection of up to 10 items and the council will only collect items listed in the bulk uplift form. Non-standard uplifts, such as large-scale DIY projects including renovation materials, kitchens and full bathroom suites, will incur a charge of £79.54. The council aims to collect bulky waste items on the day specified at the time of booking, but there may be occasions when it is unable to do so. In these circumstances, the council aims to pick up items within 5 working days of the initial collection date. Residents can book a bulk uplift online. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 8th of April, from the news section, drug driver caught. Article is unattributed. A man was caught driving in Glasgow after smoking cannabis. 2 police officers were told of people smoking cannabis in a vehicle around 8:30pm on July the 4th last year. The car was spotted parked on Scotson Drive in the West End. Driver Mohammed Lazim, 22, of London, spoke to the officers who noticed a strong smell of cannabis. The vehicle was searched and Lazim told the cops, "I have been smoking cannabis in the last hour." He provided a saliva and breath sample. They were positive for the drug. Lazim was arrested and taken to Clydebank Police Station where a sample of his blood was also analysed. A reading of 2.5 micrograms of the substance in 1 litre of blood was recorded. Lazim appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court last week after pleading guilty to driving while under the influence of the drug. He was representing himself and said, "It was my first time in Glasgow. Part of the reason why I moved here from London was the people I was hanging out with. I would like to apologise for that. I live with my parents." Lazim was disqualified from driving or obtaining a licence for 12 months and fined £200. Woman has flat robbed. A woman has been robbed in her own home amid suspicious activity in the area. The 27-year-old had a quantity of cash stolen from her flat in Ashton View in Dumbarton. The incident happened around 3:50 p.m. on Thursday. Officers are now trying to find the suspect and are urging anyone who may have seen anything suspicious to make contact. Inquiries are ongoing to establish the full circumstances surrounding the incident and identify the person responsible. A Police Scotland spokesperson said, "Anyone who was in the area and may have seen or heard suspicious activity is asked to contact Clydebank CID on 101, quoting incident number 2282 of Friday, April the 5th. Alternatively, you can call Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111." And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, on Monday the 8th of April, from the Lifestyle section, James Blunt pulls out all the stops at Hydro Gig. Article by Stacey Mullen. Review: James Blunt at the Hydro. Singer James Blunt admitted he was excited to be back in the city as he wowed thousands of fans by putting on an incredible show at the Hydro on Friday night, opening up his set with the upbeat Beside You, which samples the Enrico Morricone's track Alla Dolce di Giorno. The star, armed with his guitar, and then launched into Saving a Life and the catchy Wise Man. The 50-year-old announced, "Well, hello Glasgow. We are so excited to be back in Glasgow. It's been too long." And his fans were equally as excited to see him, despite the passage of time, because he more than made up for it with a storming set that lasted 1.5 hours. Commanding the audience from the get-go with his natural humour, Blunt had his fans switching easily between singing along to some of his biggest hits to laughing at his hilarious jokes. Goodbye My Lover and Hi, taken from his unforgettable 2004 debut album Back to Bedlam, proved to be popular and gave Blunt an opportunity to flex his skills as a musician as he took to the piano. Oozing with charisma, Blunt was on top form throughout his set, performing his back catalogue alongside tracks from his 7th studio album, Who We Used To Be, including I Won't Die With You. You're Beautiful was a highlight, showcasing Blunt's unique voice beautifully and his prowess as a songwriter. It's a track which has stood the test of time, and it thrives when performed in a live setting. He then amped up the atmosphere with a performance of his collaboration with German DJ Robin Schultz, OK. Grinning from ear to ear, he beamed, "I have been lucky enough to be in this business for 20 years now, and you're the people who keep that dream alive." He then finished off his set in spectacular style with Bonfire Heart and 1973, and a promise he will be back next year. Verdict: 4 stars. Review by Stacey Mullen. From the Glasgow Times, 8th of April, news. Knuckle Duster. This article is unattributed. A homeless Glasgow man told police he had a knuckle duster to defend himself. Officers on Sockey Hall Street stopped Cameron Becker around 3:45 p.m. one day after their attention was drawn to him. They searched him and found a knuckle duster in his left chest pocket. He was arrested and his details were taken, but he gave officers 3 false names. Becker was taken to Govan Police Station, where he was arrested and charged. He appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court last week after pleading guilty to carrying the weapon and providing false names. His lawyer said, "He has obtained accommodation, but since he was homeless at the time and he was a victim of an assault some time before, he shared this with others in the homeless community as somebody gave him the weapon to defend himself. He knows this is not an excuse. He has an outstanding order in Manchester. That is why he gave a false name." Becker was sentenced to 12 months of supervision in order to do 100 hours of unpaid work. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 8th of April, from the opinion section, letters to the editor. This wouldn't be allowed in Edinburgh. If this was a building in Edinburgh, It would not have been allowed to get in such a truly bad and dangerous condition, but the council don't own the building or the land, so who pays for the demolition and safety or barrier costs? Glasgow used to have many classical buildings like this one, but in Glasgow they either mysteriously go on fire or just get torn down. Maybe the council can claim the land as compensation for its costs. RB. People have been trying to save Bridge Street building heritage for years. Instead, the council have allowed the building to fall into a level of disrepair that threatens people's lives. Now they will demolish it with no attempt to save the facade. GO. If the council evacuated them, then it should have found hotels for them all to stay in until alternative accommodation was found. Steve Jones. Buildings falling down, roads crumbling, homelessness at unprecedented levels. Reminds me of that old quote of Nero plays the fiddle as Rome burns. Donald Webster. SNP and Greens have no interest whatsoever in heritage or preservation. Wake up, people, and stop voting for them, unless you want a city that looks like the inside of an IKEA. Fraser. If, apart from student housing, they actually built more accommodation that anyone could use, then maybe, just maybe, they would have found somewhere to house them. Stephen Park. Utterly disgraceful. Surely, if the council demands you leave where you live, then they should provide a hotel accommodation. After all, it would cost less than the expense of a single councillor's jaunt to Dubai, etc. Brian Maguire. And that was today's letters from the Glasgow Times. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 8th of April, from the news section, man woken, dragged outside and attacked. Report by Esther Tarnay. A man was woken up, dragged outside his home and assaulted by a stranger in the middle of the night. Around 1 a.m. on January the 22nd last year, the resident was asleep at his Dalmarnock home when he woke up and realised someone was outside his property, shouting. He went downstairs to see David Blair of Bridgeton, heavily under the influence. Blair, 25, approached and stopped the man from closing the door on him. He punched the man in the face and dragged him from the property. The two struggled and the man sustained scratches and red marks. The incident was seen by two passers-by who alerted the police. Around 1:30 a.m. officers arrived and Blair was traced. He was arrested and cautioned. He was escorted into a police van and he became aggressive. Blair kicked the two police officers, causing redness. He called one cop a F asterisk asterisk King, P asterisk asterisk Fe, B asterisk 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 D, as he continued to act aggressively. Blair appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court last week after he pleaded guilty to violently struggling, kicking and striking the door while intoxicated. He also admitted to assaulting the man and two cops. His lawyer said at the hearing, "There is little I can add to this. Ultimately, he had been drinking during the day and he made reference to blacking out. He has been through a difficult time these last 2 years. His mum and aunt passed away and he turned to drink at times. This is not an excuse at all. He started to recognise he needs to deal with the difficulties he's going through. There are no previous convictions, nothing outstanding, but these offences are of particular seriousness." Sheriff Owen Mullen said, "I don't see how it gets much more serious than this. Let me be frank with you, I'm thinking of sending this man to jail. He assaulted a random man in his house and two police officers. He shouted homophobic abuse." Blair's lawyer told the court his client recognised the seriousness of the incident. He said, "This is a young man, 25 years old, who is trying to deal with his ongoing issues. He is a vulnerable young man. He is dealing with underlying issues." The sheriff said to Blair, "You are 25 years old, not 16. I have to say it with some hesitation, but I am prepared to not send you to jail." Blair was sentenced to 225 hours of unpaid work and tagged for 108 days, requiring him to stay at home between 7 p.m. and 5:45 a.m. He was also ordered to pay £900. And that article was by Esther Tarnay. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the opinion section, Annie Wells. Greens must be held accountable for terrible record in Holyrood, and this is the Tory view by Annie Wells. Anyone looking in on the Green Party's annual conference over the weekend may have concluded the event looked timid and flat. On first appearance, it resembled a low-key convention of activists akin to something like a model railway club meetup. The one-day seminar in Edinburgh came and went without anyone outside Holyrood's bubble taking any notice. And it is this almost amateurish approach that lulls the population of Scotland into thinking the Greens are still what they once were, an honourable group of campaigners who simply want what is best for the environment, willing to politely state their case in the hope of quietly influencing the powers that be. Unfortunately, the truth about today's Green Party is the opposite, and it's time they were held accountable for what they are and their central role in Scotland's corridors of power. Far from being parliamentary wallflowers, the party's MSP group now forms part of Scotland's government, with two of them granted ministerial status. Their influence has resulted in a number of highly contentious policies which have either already had a negative impact on the economy, like the shambolic failed deposit return scheme, or will do soon enough, such as rules to outlaw gas boilers for expensive and ineffective replacement technology. Some of the MSPs have been responsible for the most tasteless contributions in recent years, while they continue to rabble rouse in a number of sensitive issues like gender and the Israel-Gaza conflict. Their support for independence never has, and never will, have anything to do with the founding environmental principles of the party. And even here in Glasgow, the best contribution the councillors can come up with is to remove the Union flag from the city chambers, and instead wave Palestinian and Pride flags, a shameless move that won't improve a single life in the city. They have proved that at national and local level they are not serious governors, and have botched almost everything they have touched either through incompetence or negligence. I still recall the night I was elected in 2016 and Patrick Harvey, the party's co-leader, being the only other politician who couldn't bear to look me in the eye. It's also a source of misfortune that Alison Johnson, the party's best MSP who is respected across the chamber and a genuine pleasure to be in the company of, is precluded from party politics this term due to her impartial role as presiding officer. Opposition MSPs like me spend much of our time scrutinising and subsequently criticising the SNP for their role in government, and rightly so given they have had almost 17 years during which almost every devolved area has got worse. But the scale of that failure often allows us to forget they have co-conspirators, and have done since the Butte House Agreement to permit the Greens into government was signed in 2021. They are now as much to blame for the state of Scotland and Glasgow as anyone. It's no wonder the original Green Titans like Robin Harper, or great minds like ousted MSP Andy Whiteman, don't want anything to do with the current regime. Let's not let the weekend's damp squib of a conference fool us. The Greens wield great power, but are doing so with little accountability and no responsibility. And that was The Tory View by Annie Wells. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section, charges for club threat. This article is unattributed. A man threatened nightclub staff after he was knocked back from the dancing. Employees were working at the Buff Club on Bath Lane on July the 5th last year when James Coyne approached. The 25-year-old was refused entry as it was after 2 a.m. He became aggressive towards workers and members of the public. Coyne of Rutherglen said, "You're going down and you're going to get the chop and everybody is going to wake up stabbed." He made gestures in a chopping motion which alarmed those present. He then cycled away. Around 2:33 a.m. police were called. A description was provided and cops viewed CCTV. Officers traced him and he was removed from his bike and restrained. Coyne was then taken to London Road Police Station. He appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court last week after he pleaded guilty to threatening three staff members and resisting arrest. He was sentenced to 12 months of supervision and 135 hours of unpaid work. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section. Drug driver crashed car. This article is unattributed. A driver on drugs crashed and flipped his car on its roof, which caused a serious injury to his brother who was a passenger. Mark Bexley, 26, smashed into a lamppost on Glasgow's Edinburgh Road on February the 27th, 2021. Bexley, who was under the influence of cannabis, sped and undertook a vehicle before he lost control. He was able to climb out the driver's window as fuel leaked into the vehicle while his two passengers were trapped inside. Bexley's unconscious sibling Richard Swales and another passenger, Casey Connell, had to be rescued by the fire brigade. Mr. Swales was found to have suffered a fractured pelvis and face, while Mr. Connell sustained two broken ankles and a fractured skull. The incident took place 2 years before Bexley was jailed for 8 months for attacking a lifelong friend in Hamilton, South Lanarkshire. Bexley struck the man in the head to his severe injury, which required hospital treatment. He pleaded guilty yesterday at Glasgow Sheriff Court to causing serious injury by dangerous driving. He also admits he's driving while under the influence of cannabis. Prosecutor Sean Docherty said, a witness stated that he was undertaken by the vehicle on a bus lane and lost control. Bexley hit a grass verge and then rolled and struck a lamppost, which caused extensive damage to the vehicle. A witness heard how a loud bang caused them to look out their window to see the black vehicle on its roof. Bexley exited the vehicle through the driver's window while the two passengers were trapped inside. He also acted erratically and told police that his brother was trapped. Mr. Connell was noted to be covered in blood, upset, and stated that he could not feel his legs. Mr. Swales was unconscious in the meantime. The pair were then rescued from the car and taken to hospital. Mr. Swales suffered from life-threatening injuries and was bleeding as well as sustained multiple fractures. Mr. Docherty said that Mr. Swale has fractures to his pelvis and face which required emergency surgery. Mr. Connell was treated for two broken ankles and a fractured skull. Bexley suffered fractured ribs, consistent with a seatbelt injury. He was tested for drugs by police and found to have 2.5 micrograms of cannabis in his system when the driving limit is 2 micrograms. The court was told that Mr. Swales was in attendance at court with Bexley of the city Shettleston and is supportive of him. Sentence was deferred pending background reports until next month by Sheriff Jenner Borra, who continued Bexley's bail. The sheriff said, "This is a very serious matter." And that report was unattributed, but it was read by me, Ian McKenna. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section. Gangster hid money at Star Sisters home. Report by James Mulholland. A gangster who stashed drugs money at the home of his Extraverse City star sister has handed more than £1 million to prosecutors. Stephen O'Donnell, 43, was forced to hand over £1,092,290 of his ill-gotten gains to prosecutors to settle a proceeds of crime action. He is currently serving a 2-year sentence for hiding cash made from illegal activities at the home of Laura Noble, 37, shared with her family in Rob Royston, Glasgow. Cops seized banknotes which had been stored in supermarket carrier bags in vacuum packs hidden in drawers, a cupboard and a bedroom. Police went on to find another £76,000 of ill-gotten gains at the Crook's own property in the city's Lamb Hill area. O'Donnell was jailed after pleading guilty to the proceeds of crime offences at the High Court in Glasgow. However, prosecutors took O'Donnell to court in a bid to recover cash that he made from his life of crime. Yesterday, O'Donnell appeared in the dock of the High Court in Edinburgh to hear his lawyer David Mogach say he was prepared to bring the Pussy's action to an end. O'Donnell, who wore a t-shirt made by Italian designer Balenciaga, heard Judge Lord Summers order him to hand over the sum within 6 months. O'Donnell originally appeared at the High Court in Glasgow alongside his actress sister. She played Shillsuit Bob's girlfriend Michelle Rafferty in the BBC Scotland soap under her maiden name Laura O'Donnell. She also starred in the Peter Mullen film Orphans and featured alongside Trainspotting actor Johnny Lee Miller in the flick Complicity. The siblings were joined in the dock by Laura's husband, Brian Noble, also 37. O'Donnell admitted to 2 charges under the Proceeds of Crime Act of possessing criminal property totalling £1,092,290. The Nobles had faced the same accusation in connection to the find at their home, but prosecutors accepted their not guilty pleas. Prosecutor Mark Mohammed, KC, told the court, between April the 8th and 23rd, 2022, O'Donnell collected and stored money on behalf of a known organised crime group. They had substantial assets and were involved in the widespread distribution of controlled drugs. He vacuum-packed cash for the purpose of distributing it. The court heard how police were alerted that O'Donnell had been stashing ill-gotten gains at the home of a family member. It resulted in warrants being issued to search the detached home of his sister and brother-in-law. O'Donnell's fingerprints and DNA were on several supermarket bags some of the cash holes were in. The carpet fitter's home was also searched and more cash was seized, including from inside the pocket of a Vivian Westwood hoodie. O'Donnell was later arrested but made no comment. Yesterday, Prosecutor Brian Heaney told Lord Summers the Crown was now content to settle the action. That report was by James Mulholland. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section, Glasgow Hospital first in UK to take part in AI trial. Story by Amanda Keenan. A UK first trial at the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital in Glasgow hopes to utilise artificial intelligence to cut turnaround times for CT scans and reduce pressures on stretched A&E staff. In collaboration with Cure.ai, a leading innovator in healthcare solutions, the revolutionary technology will allow emergency department consultants and clinicians to make faster decisions about the care and discharge of patients who require imaging of their head. The AI technology quickly examines head CT scans and accurately pinpoints critical areas of concern, creating prioritised reporting for radiology staff. It means medical professionals are able to rapidly review imaging, resulting in prompt diagnoses and treatment decisions for patients in a critical condition. In the first few weeks of the head CT AI implementation over the 23-24 winter period, the technology analysed 651 non-contrast head CTs, detected 128 head injuries, including cranial fractures and shift within patients' brains. Professor David Lowe, emergency medicine consultant to the NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, says that the advances can help reduce pressure on hospital staff. He added, emergency departments across the country continue to face challenges, with one person presenting every 90 seconds, potentially requiring brain imaging. By utilising the opportunities of innovative AI to help prioritise urgent cases, we will look to deliver critical interventions whilst improving workflow and time in A&E for patients needing scans. The study looks to provide evidence to support adoption of AI across 4 centres in the UK. We hope this will support clinical teams in decision making to deliver critical care, reassurance and, when appropriate, discharge releasing capacity and space for patients. The project, which is called ACCEPT, Assess the Clinical Effectiveness in Prioritising CT Heads, commenced at the QEUH and is one of 4 planned NHS sites across the UK utilising the new cutting-edge technology. Denise Brown, Director of Digital Services at the NHS Glasgow and Clyde, added, it is important to establish reliable evidence on the impact and value of AI solutions and to determine how they best support clinical decision-making. Our digital strategy enabled by AI brings together NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde's expertise in research, innovation and the operation of AI solutions at scale, while working closely with colleagues in academia. Darren Stevens, Senior Vice President and Commercial Head at Cure.ai for UK and Europe, also believes the trial offers the chance to help relieve pressure on A&E staff and save lives. He said, "This is an exciting step forward for AI in NHS emergency departments. Providing digital health tools that can create calm and give informed prioritisation of urgent cases to support stretched clinical teams, especially at night or weekends, is very advantageous. It may help reduce CT scan to reporting turnaround times and give rapid alerts of critical findings that will boost the speed of treatment given to patients." And that report was by Amanda Keenan. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section, in the world today, no decisive win for Tusk at elections, this article is unattributed. Poland's local and regional elections over the weekend failed to give Prime Minister Donald Tusk the sweeping victory he hoped for in his efforts to reverse 8 years of rule by a populist party that was accused by the European Union of eroding democratic norms. Exit polls released after voting closed on Sunday night show that Tusk's centrist civic coalition did well in big cities, where it is popular with social liberals, but the opposition Law and Justice Party won more votes in elections for the country's 16 regional assemblies, maintaining its dominance in conservative rural areas in eastern Poland. The elections were a test for Tusk 4 months after he returned from power as a Prime Minister, a job he held previously from 2007 to 14. He returned to office last year vowing to restore judicial independence and democratic guardrails after changes to the judiciary led the EU to cut billions of euros in funding to Poland. Funding is being restored, but Tusk still faces a difficult path. New laws must be passed to reverse many of the judicial changes, and his vow to liberalise the country's strict abortion law is being hampered by Conservatives within his governing coalition. The results from Sunday's vote show that Poland remains deeply divided and that Tusk continues to face a formidable opponent in Conservative Law and Justice Party and its 74-year-old leader, Jarosław Kaczynski. Some had dismissed the party after they lost power at the national level last year, but, according to an exit poll by Ipsos, Law and Justice won 33.7% of Sunday's vote, with Tusk's civic coalition at 31.9%. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section, residents can request firework control zone, report by Stuart Patterson. Fireworks can be banned in parts of Glasgow this year, and residents can apply for their community to be covered. A firework control zone, FCZ, can be declared to take in specific streets and public places under new legislation. It will be an offence for a member of the public to ignite a firework in an FCZ, including in a private garden, but sparklers are exempt. Also, knowingly firing a firework into a control zone or recklessly throwing a lit firework into a zone will also be an offence. Because a decision has to be made after consultation with the local community, applications for a controlled zone must be made months in advance. For a ban to be in place for November this year to cover Guy Fawkes Night, the request must be submitted by June 12th. An individual person cannot make a request. Instead, it should come from either a community of residents requiring 25 signatures, a community council or a welfare group. The application must include the reasons for the controlled zone, the boundaries of the zone, and the start and end dates of when the zone will be in place. Before submitting a bid, the applicant must consult with the people who live and work in the area and members of the local community in or near the proposed zone. Residents in parts of the city have complained about excessive use of fireworks in the weeks leading to Bonfire Night. In Pollock Shields last year, people were frustrated that new powers had not been used to restrict their use. A council spokesperson said, Firework control zones are part of the suite of measures to tackle firework issues, and full details are now available to view on our website. FCZs will be enforced by Police Scotland, and the Council will oversee the process of designating zones in Glasgow in partnership with them and Scottish Fire and Rescue. Consideration of a community request will include analysis of a range of evidence relating to the proposed location, including if the request is proportionate and enforceable. More details on how to apply for an FCZ can be found at glasgow.gov.uk/FCZ, that's glasgow.gov.uk/FCZ. And that report was by Stuart Patterson. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section, Scissors Threat to Passengers. This article is unattributed. A man with scissors threatened passengers on a Glasgow bus. Gavin Forsyth, 35, boarded a bus on Jamaica Street in the city centre on May 13th, 2022. He and other passengers took their seats at the rear of the vehicle. Later, Forsyth of Carmarthenshire started to talk to them. The court heard he asked where they were from and how long they had been here. Then he became frustrated and aggressive. From his bag, he grabbed blue hairdressing scissors and said, "I killed somebody." The passengers were in fear and unsure of what he wanted. Forsyth said, "When you get off the bus, I want to get off with you." He then put the scissors back in his pocket. The fiscal deputy said the passenger saw officers on Thornley Bank Road and reported the incident. Later he was arrested, cautioned and charged. He appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court last week after he pleaded guilty to threatening the passengers while in possession of a weapon. Sheriff Alan Mackay said, "I will take into account that you have been in good behaviour for the last 6 months. Forsyth was fined £450. And that report was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 9th of April, from the news section, strikes on nuclear plant confirmed. This article is unattributed. The head of the UN's Atomic Watchdog Agency condemned a drone strike on one of six nuclear reactors at the Russian-controlled Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Apologise for my pronunciation there, my Russian is not great. Saying such attacks significantly increase the risk of a major nuclear accident. In a Twitter/X post, International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, Rafael Mariano Grossi confirmed at least three direct hits against the main reactor containment structures took place. He said it was the first such attack since November 2022, when he set out five basic principles to avoid a serious nuclear accident with radiological consequences. Officials at the plant said the site was attacked on Sunday by Ukrainian military drones, including a strike on the dome of the plant's sixth power unit. Russia blamed Ukraine for the attack, but the IAEA did not attribute responsibility. According to the plant authorities, there were no critical damage or casualties, and radiation levels at the plant were normal after the strikes. The power plant has been caught in the crossfire since Moscow sent troops into Ukraine in 2022 and seized the facility shortly after. And that article was unattributed.
This is from the Glasgow Times. On the 10th of April, 2024, from the news section, and the headline reads, "Dad of Two Doors Down Star Caught Up in Warzone File." This article is by Rosie Lewis. The dad of a Two Doors Down star revealed he was caught up in a horror blaze at a factory 100 yards from his home. 999 crews raced to a fire at the Phoenix Battery Recycling Plant in Kilwinning on Monday evening. John Steveley, whose son is Grado, aka Alan, in the BBC sitcom, was sitting in his house in the Byer Hill estate when it became engulfed in toxic smoke. The 66-year-old told the Scottish Sun, I was just sitting in my house watching the telly, and I could see people kept passing my window. Because it was late, I popped my head out to see what was happening, and I'd just seen the flames and smoke, and the smell was terrible. Then the banging started, and it went on for 4 hours. Residents said the street became like a war zone, as exploding battery casings created massive banging noises, which could be heard for miles. While fire chiefs urged locals to evacuate, John decided to stay in his home. He added, "I was happy just staying in the house, but that banging of the fireworks went on all night." Area commander Jim Quinn said, "We continue to work with the recycling centre and partner agencies to minimise the disruption to the local community, and will continue to provide updates. While smoke continues to be visible, we would ask that residents remain at home and keep windows and doors closed as a precaution. If travelling through smoke, motorists should keep windows closed, turn off air conditioning, and keep their air vents closed." This article was by Rosie Lewis. This is from the Glasgow Times on the 10th of April 2024, from the news section. And the headline reads, "East Kilbride man with bottle of Buckfast told cops to Google him." This article is by Esther Tarnay. A man brandished a bottle of Buckfast in the city centre and kicked off at cops trying to arrest him. Gary Howison was spotted on Hope Street in Glasgow around 7:40 p.m. on February 27th, 2023. Police saw him brandishing a bottle of Buckfast. The court heard the top of the bottle was in his hand and the bottom was brandished. Cops applied handcuffs. Howison, of East Kilbride, said, "Get effing off me. Get these cuffs off and see what happens. Do you effing know who I am? Google me and you'll see who I am." He was put in a cell van and taken to Helen Street Station. "There," he said, "he owes me effing money for the clothes I gave him." At the station, he continued to make threats at officers and tried to bite one of them. He was warned. Howison then showed his teeth and made an exhale sound. He was searched and continued to be aggressive. He said, "I will batter you two idiots even with the cuffs on. Do you want to bet I'll get bailed?" Howison, 37, appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court last week after pleading guilty to assault, brandishing the bottle and resisting arrest. His lawyer said, "He has got nothing outstanding. He is aware that jail is an option and he is keen to avoid that. He is the sole carer for his son who has additional support needs. He is in a stable relationship with his new partner and they have a baby. He is aware these are serious matters. He had a distressing day and went to the graveyard to visit his son's mother. He was intoxicated, but he knows that is not an excuse. He accepts responsibility. He will refrain from alcohol use now." Sheriff Alan McKay said, "I have to have the possibility of a custodial sentence at the forefront of my mind. But I also consider the alternatives. If you breach this and come back in front of me, I will send you to prison." Howison was tagged for 9 months, forcing him to stay at his home address between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. for 5 months, and between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. for the remaining 4 months. This article was by Esther Tarnay. This is from the Glasgow Times, on the 10th of April, 2024, from the news section. And the headline reads, "Glasgow man cut punter's face with a pint glass in pub fight." This article is by Esther Tarnay. A Glasgow man cut a punter's face with a pint glass in a pub fight. Martin Welsh, 60, was at the Prince's Bar on Smithycroft Road, drinking alcohol with other people. While he was in the lounge area, a man joined him. Around 6:25 p.m, Welsh was seen moving his drink to the bar area, where he continued drinking. Later, the man was also seen moving to the same area and turned his attention to Welsh. An altercation took place and Welsh picked up his pint glass and struck the punter in the face. He then punched the man in the face. After the man fell down, he stood over him and continued to strike him until he was pulled away by others. The man was also held back and was bleeding due to the injuries to his face. Emergency services, including police and ambulance, were called and the man was taken to Glasgow Royal Infirmary. Doctors there confirmed he had a fracture to his left eye socket and a 1-inch laceration to his cheek, which required to be glued and stitched back. Police later went on to Welsh's Cranhill home and he was arrested, cautioned and charged. He appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court last week after he pleaded guilty to assault. His lawyer said, "The bar manager has confirmed that the man sparked a level of dissatisfaction. He was asked to leave 2 times and returned, and he called Welsh derogatory names. Welsh acted impulsively and very much in bad temper. He accepts that. He's a 60-year-old man who has not had any previous convictions." Sheriff Alan McKay replied, "This is not a case where I need to consider rehabilitation. There is no underlying issue. It's a loss of temper. It's still a severe assault, there is no question about that. There is no question the custodial threshold was met, but I am happy to deal with this with alternatives to custody. It's saddening to see that you got involved with the likes of me at this age for the first time." Welsh was tagged for 9 months, requiring him to stay within his home between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. each day. This article was by Esther Tarnay.
That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Q and Review and to tell your friends about our service.